This morning, our scripture passage comes from the Gospel of Luke, and I'll be reading from chapter 2, verses 8 through 14. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." May God bless the reading of his word. You may be seated.
We've really been encouraged by this Advent sermon series on some of the songs of Christmas, haven't we? We love Christmas carols, but I think part of the reason this series has been so encouraging this year is, as Christians, we feel a little bit of guilt over our love for the holiday season when it's for all the wrong reasons. When we were kids, you know, Christmas meant toys and baby Jesus. And then the latest clothes and baby Jesus and technology and, of course, baby Jesus. And now that those of us who are older have had a chance to reflect on these things a little bit, we mostly appreciate time with family, good food, the wonder in the eyes of the little ones at the Christmas season, and, of course, baby Jesus. And we're bombarded in the church with the message that, you know, the world hates the real reason for Christmas, and they've forgotten all about Jesus anyway. It's all materialistic. We're all too busy. And the one that we like to emphasize the most here at Westkirk, it's not Christmas yet, it's Advent, which is, you know, my personal favorite. And of course, it's true. So an Advent series on some of our favorite songs of the season has been nice, hasn't it? Today we turn our hearts to perhaps the oldest of Christmas carols, "Angels We Have Heard on High." You probably didn't realize that it was an old one. I'll get to that shortly. But the reference behind the song is pretty clear. It's that part of Luke's account that Clinton just read for us, that part of the birth of Christ from chapter 2 that tells of the encounter between the angel and the shepherds. So let's quiet our hearts for a moment, and I'll pray. Our Father and our God, we come again into your presence. We are wholly dependent on you. Without you, we can do nothing. Even the exercise of prayer and of reading the scriptures without the aid and the ministry of your Spirit just kind of falls flat. So come, O Lord, and illumine now those familiar words of Scripture and grant to us, we pray, in your grace and your mercy, a word from you to draw us after yourself. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this is one of the passages that is so familiar to us, we kind of fail to hear the nuances of it anymore. It's so out of our own context that we fail to hear what's new, what's surprising, even shocking about it. To us, it's just the Christmas story, but the first thing we hear in verses 8 and 9 is that an angel of the Lord appeared. Wow! An angel of the Lord showed up at the work site alongside a bunch of laborers. Just showed up like that. Now, this is the New Testament, but these are Old Testament people. That's what they learned, the Old Testament. That's what they knew and understood. So angels were not new to them. But that doesn't mean it wasn't shocking for one to show up anytime, let alone while you're at work. So naturally, they respond in the same way any of us would respond at the appearance of a fiery heavenly being with fear. Not the fear of evil, as if something bad is about to happen, but fear as in awe, as in shock, as in humility. Let me read these two verses again. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." The real question is not, why did this angel come? We know the answer to that question. The birth of this child is so extraordinary that an angel came to deliver the good news. And that, of course, makes sense if Jesus is the very Son of God who came to save his people from their sins. The question here to begin is, why did they appear to shepherds? Some people think it's to make the connection, excuse me, between the coming of the Messiah and the great shepherd King David, Jesus' greatest ancestor. There's a bit of speculation in that, but it's true, of course. And we see here in Luke 1 and 2 that Luke has mentioned David several times. Another significant reason is to fulfill prophecy. Now, we all nod our heads at that because we know that Jesus, in his coming, fulfilled a lot of prophecy. But this one doesn't roll off the tongue. It comes from Jeremiah, chapter 33, and I'll begin, verse 12. Thus says the Lord of hosts, "In this place that is waste, without man or beast, and in all of its cities, there shall again be habitations of shepherds resting their flocks. In the cities of the hill country, in the cities of the Shephelah, in the cities of the Negev, in the land of Benjamin, the places about Jerusalem, and in the cities of Judah, flocks shall again pass under the hands of the one who counts them, says the Lord. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will fulfill the promise I made to the house of Israel and the house of Judah. In those days, and at that time, I will cause a righteous branch to spring up for David, and he shall execute justice and righteousness in the land." So God will send his Messiah while shepherds are resting their flocks. But touching on a theme that Luke especially seems to emphasize, it's throughout Scripture, but it's that the good news of Jesus Christ is for all. It's for everyone. That the angel would announce the arrival of the Messiah to shepherds is kind of shocking, because the shepherds were considered like the lowest rung on the social ladder, just above lepers, I guess. Really, they were quite despised. You got that job when you couldn't get anything else. You lived outside, making you ceremonially unclean all the time. Their work, not allowing them to keep up with the law. But shepherds, why this jubilee? As the song says. Why your joyous strains prolong? Say, what may the glad tidings be which inspire your heavenly song? Well, the jubilee is not only that Christ has come, but that he came even to us. These are the people for whom the gospel was intended. Even today, we come to church and we kind of look around and pass judgment on who other people are and what we're wearing. And look, I'm all for coming and wearing your best for worship. But we don't really care what people wear. And I'm not asking that as a question. I'm just saying it. We don't care what people wear. The gospel did not come just for the best of society. The gospel did not come only to people who clean up well. The gospel came to needy sinners who are desperate for God's grace. And who better to make that point than first century shepherds? I mean, we don't even know their names. If God intends the gospel to be for them, then surely he intends his grace and forgiveness for you. Even so, he trumpets this message with an angel. So what is the message exactly? Well, we know it. We know it well. We know it from Luke, and we know it from Linus. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. Now, this is fearful news, but it is news of great joy. It's about the birth of a baby. So we have three baby announcements today. Isn't that great? And more to come. Jess, you are next with the good news about the birth of a baby. So to emphasize what I just mentioned, notice to whom the baby is born, this child. To you, Luke says. That's what the angel tells the shepherds. This baby is born to you. That's personal. In other words, the message of the birth of this baby is not just information. This isn't just what happened in case the shepherds happened to come along or were wondering what was going on over there or feeling out of the loop. Now, this was also the why. Why it's so important. The baby Jesus was born for the shepherds and for their salvation, but not for them alone. This message is also for us. Unto you is born this day a Savior, Christ the Lord. So here we learn not just that this child has been born, but we learn who he is. He's an ancestor of David. He will save his people. He is the Messiah. I didn't realize it, but here at the beginning of chapter 2, I mentioned this, I guess, already. This is like the sixth time that Luke mentions David in his gospel. It's a big deal. The city of David is Bethlehem, given the census and Quirinius and all of that. The point here is that the child is of the line of David. He's the Savior. He's the Messiah. And the title Savior is significant in Luke 2. This is the clue that the child will not be his people's military leader, but their spiritual one. He's also Christ, meaning the anointed one, the Messiah of God. The one God promised to send. He is here. He will save his people forever. That's three titles in verse 11 of David, Savior, Christ, and the fourth is Lord. This one points to his divinity. Because even though the word can mean simply leader or master, in this context, it means the one who is sovereign, who has sovereign rule over everything. Jesus, the Son of David, the Christ, our Lord. Now, these titles of Jesus kind of roll off our tongues, but this is quite an announcement the angel makes to these shepherds and to us. And think about it, if God had not sent the angels to these shepherds, they would not have heard, they would not have received the message. God picked them to hear the gospel. Point is made clear by them in verse 15 when they say among themselves, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." You know what this means. This means you don't just stumble upon the gospel. You don't just run into Jesus somewhere. Jesus is made known to you by God. And this is all the more reason why we share the gospel. We needed the preaching and the presenting and the testimonies of the good news of Jesus Christ so that we would hear about him and come to know him. And so does everyone else God is calling into a relationship with himself through Jesus Christ. We are the people that God has designated to share the message. You see, God didn't save you by just sending Jesus. He also arranged for you to hear about it, understand it, receive this message of the gospel of Jesus Christ by faith. Who will you see this Christmas season who needs to hear the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ and be saved? And this is where the heavenly host of angels arrives on the scene. You notice at the beginning there was just one. Or maybe they were all there and it's just now that they make themselves visible. And they begin to sing a song of praise to God. And suddenly, there was an angel, a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." I can't help but hear Handel's Messiah when I read these verses. But it's highly unlikely that Handel's rendition of the Gloria here was the first rendition. Not even close. Because we know that within 100 years of Jesus' life, monks and other religious leaders were singing these words in worship. A prize from me for the first person without Pullman in their name who knows the musical term for a song that incorporates two languages. Just come up to me later. You can email or text. In the Latin, Gloria in excelsis Deo means glory to God in the highest. And this is the familiar refrain of our featured song today. Because the verses first came to us in French, well, the Latin part was in Latin, but the verses in French, the entirety of this song as we know it may have come from France. It uses very little of the musical scale, indicating it might have been a monastic chant. We're not sure. But this part, the Gloria, which we think of as the chorus, we sing in worship, or was sung in worship, long before Christianity became the predominant faith in Europe. Our song first appeared in publication in France, I think in 1855, although I've seen some earlier dates. We know it was sung in the Catholic Mass before that time, and we sing it pretty much the same. In Angels We Have Heard on High. The song is about the angels' visit to the lowly shepherds and their response in Luke chapter 2. And as simple as it is, it has had this long-lasting impact, this long popularity. And I think it is because the song is so full of hope and so full of joy in the gospel. You just can't help but feel it when you sing it. When we hear the words, we get the impression that the writer actually believed these words. They're powerful. Here we have contact between God and humanity through the angelic intermediary. What a special relationship that God has with his people. And I say that very intentionally. Because while Angels We Have Heard on High is taken by people who sing it, many people, not all, as a song that declares some kind of universal promise of salvation and peace to everyone, notice what the text says. It does not say, glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill to men. That's a different song. In Luke 2, Luke says that the angels sang, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased. Among whom he is pleased. It's kind of a first century technical term for the elect. Those on whom God has poured out his favor by his sovereign pleasure. And God has determined to share this good news of Jesus Christ with you today. If you have not, will you receive him as Savior and Lord and turn from your sin in repentance? So that this Christmas, you might celebrate the birth of your King. Let's pray. Father in heaven, as we think through these very familiar songs and these very familiar stories from your word, we pray that something of the mystery, the incomprehensible mystery, the unfathomable and deep, deep thought that the second person of the Trinity actually became a little infant lying in a manger in a stable in Bethlehem, in all of his frailty, in all of his smallness. We pray that this glorious truth you have chosen to extend to us would touch us afresh this day and this week as we make our way to Christmas. We know that this same infant, fully grown and who knew no sin, died for us that we might receive the righteousness of God in him. So accept the praise of our hearts, accept our worship, we pray. Help us to join our voices with angels above to give you glory forever. And help us to be faithful in proclaiming this good news. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I invite you now to rise in heart or in body as we sing our hymn of response, Angels We Have Heard on High.
Thank you.
Isn't that full of joy and hope? Just can't help it. People of God, receive this benediction. May God, who sent his angels to proclaim the glad news of the Savior's birth, fill you with joy and make you heralds of the gospel and light. Amen. Go in peace.